Hi guys, you're with me inside Fredino Omar, and thank you for tuning in to In Person on our new review. Okay, so today we are going to be discovering something that is a little bit out of the norm. We know that, you know, some of the best leaders in the world are products of business school, and they have case studies written about them, case studies written about the best companies in the world. So you will be able to learn a lot from business schools, but what can you learn outside the business school, and how inspiring can those kinds of stories be? Well, today I'm going to be speaking to somebody who has gone through a journey, the business school journey, but you know what? He discovered five interesting things that he learned outside the business school, and today he is doing something completely different but affecting such a positive change in the community that he's working in the Philippines, with an organization called Gawad Kalinga Enchanted Farm. And I'm very, very excited to have him here with us. Louis Faure, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Dino, for having me.
We're having this chat in the garden. I have the sun in my eye. and this can't feel too far away from what you're probably used to back in the Philippines.
Yeah, because I mean, I live every day in what we call the Enchanted Farm. Mm-hmm. So we have mango trees, nara trees, different classes of trees. It really feels like home right now.
Oh, nice. So, all right. So before we go into those five critical things that I've asked you to list down, tell us a little bit about what makes this Enchanted Farm enchanting.
Well, it starts from, you must know that it used to be a quarry. 10 years ago, it was a quarry. Infested with communist rebel, the NPAs in the Philippines. But we saw it as an opportunity actually to grow goodness out of something that was a wasteland, which is very symbolic of the work that we're trying to do with this organization called Gawad Kalinga, where we're turning liabilities into assets. Mm-hmm. We're turning people who are outcasts into people who are part of society, who are mm-hmm. assets for society. Mm-hmm. So what makes this farm enchanted is that it was able to transform something unproductive, unfertile, mm-hmm. people who were...
Which is the place itself.
Okay. Into now a place where we actually raise a new generation of entrepreneurs for the Philippines, mm-hmm. social entrepreneurs, who actually bring in change from the bottom going up, instead of usually going always in a top-down approach.
So you're raising the next generation of social entrepreneurs, yeah. as opposed to just entrepreneurs.
Exactly.
So they're not just learning the trade, and by trade we are talking about agriculture here, correct?
Not necessarily. Most of the businesses have a link with the province, that's for sure.
Okay.
But then it can be craftsmanship as much as it can be agriculture based.
Right, I see.
The objective is to create opportunities in the province that actually include the poor.
For those of you who want to know more about the Enchanted Farm and Gawad Kalinga, which is in which area in the Philippines?
It's in the province of Bulacan, just north
in
of Manila.
Which is north of?
Of Manila.
And how far away is that?
About 2.5 to 3 hours.
Please pay them a visit, because looking at the pictures, it looks like a fantastic place. But if you want to know more about the Enchanted Farm and Gawad Kalinga, please do go and read up. Because I want to focus now on these five things, because I think it's going to be very interesting. So why don't we start by listing them down first, and then we'll go into them one by one.
You prefer doing that way? Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
Go on then. Balls in your court.
Yeah. It's so I was just thinking about it. I really like this question. I never thought it that way. I think that might be even useful for me.
Oh, okay, good.
To sit down, like, I like it a lot. The first thing that came to my mind was the learning process. Mm-hmm. We're in a business school, we're teaching you knowledge, skills, so you're used to get your learning from a single source.
Yep.
What I've learned from my experience afterwards is that every single person you meet is a learning experience.
Right, okay.
And more than that, every unperfect idea and every unperfect thought that you have must be brought out, even if it's not ready yet.
Right.
For it to actually be churned and become more relevant.
Right.
Even if you don't know exactly what you're talking about, if you don't really understand what you're doing,
you have to go through it first.
You still have to go through it.
Right, okay.
Because the understanding comes along the way.
Okay, and next?
The next, in kind of a similar concept, is we should stop waiting for things to be perfect mm-hmm. to get started. Because mm-hmm. very often we're waiting for the conditions.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, whenever I get
as we were before we starting this, so we gotta
exactly.
make sure the lights are right. You know what? The light has changed and I'm here in the sun.
You look like an angel right now, falling from the sky.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Take it like this.
Yeah, okay, carry on.
So that would be the second point. Uh-huh. I guess we can develop more later. But yeah, not waiting for the perfect conditions, mm-hmm. not also waiting for you to be ready. Mm-hmm. The third concept that I had in mind was the way we see the way we take our decisions. I learned to ditch the pros and cons.
Okay.
When it comes to big decisions.
This is a big one, okay.
For big decisions, ditch the pros and cons. Uh-huh. But instead, learn to connect to your intuition uh-huh. and trust.
Right, okay.
Every change maker couldn't find the answer in the pros and cons. It doesn't fit. It came from an intuitive call
right.
that they had the courage to see and to answer.
Right.
The pros and cons will help for you to choose between a croissant and a pain au chocolat in a bakery,
yeah.
but not for your next decision in life.
Right.
That's what
okay.
I believe.
I definitely want to go into that a little bit more. Okay, next
sure.
one.
A fourth one that has been critical to my personal journey mm-hmm. is the way we see working together and especially leadership. The role of the leader is not first to give the direction. The role of the leader is first to care for his people and to empower them, for them to become better than him or her
right, okay.
eventually. Uh-huh. And a good leader must learn at a certain point to follow as well.
Okay.
So the role of leadership is to care and empower.
Right, okay. And the
in
last
every
one.
Context.
In every context.
Even believe in an army, I really believe in any context.
Right.
But okay. be careful. Caring doesn't mean just being kind.
Right.
It's tough love. It means I want you to be the best person you can be.
Making the best decision in the best interest of.
It's pushing the person to its limit.
Right.
But not for you to put that person down.
Okay.
But because you believe that person can do something amazing.
Yes.
That she still or he doesn't even know yet.
Okay. And the last
And the last point has been also very critical in my journey is understanding that the distinction between ownership and stewardship.
Okay.
In business school, we're taught that what you are responsible of is what you own. Mm-hmm. It's your backyard. But this mindset brought our world to where it is now. Mm-hmm. So it's only when we start to take responsibility over things that we don't own. So it's only when we start to be stewards of what was given to us
right.
that we actually are capable of doing great things. Because otherwise we're very limited. What's happening outside, oh, it's not my problem.
Yeah. And also, and if you own something, you tend to be a little bit more carefree about the things that you own.
As well.
But if it's somebody else, then you have to also maintain that thing even more because you have to consider the person who, you know, supposedly owns it.
Yeah.
So it's an added layer of responsibility. That
exactly.
You...
But there's also things that nobody owns, like
yeah.
nature.
Yeah, like nature. I know. I knew you were going to go into that.
Yeah.
But yeah, but I completely understand and I love that concept. Okay. So, all right. So now let's talk more. So first you mentioned about how the learning process is different and every person that you meet is the person that is the source of new information.
Yeah,
right?
Learning, yeah.
Can you give us an example of this? Because I know you have fantastic stories from the people that you meet.
I know.
Yeah.
There's probably a billion stories.
Okay,
which makes it difficult
to
choose.
One.
Okay, let's go for one.
Let's talk about Girly because I like Girly story.
All right. Well, so Girly comes from the town of Sulukan, which is a town just behind the Enchanted Farm. Mm-hmm. She has eight siblings, there are nine. Mm-hmm. They live in a very simple bamboo hut in the middle of the rice fields. Mm-hmm. She went through our 3 years course, mm-hmm. 3 year course, so mm-hmm. she's a graduate of our university, SEED.
Right. Uh-huh.
She's now studying in the Paul Bocuse Institute.
If I can just ask you, so when you say she went through the 3 year course,
yeah.
what qualification does she come out with? I know it doesn't matter, but that piece of paper,
it does matter.
Okay.
So it's a certified course on social entrepreneurship.
Right.
When you come out of it, you're not, we cannot say a certified social entrepreneur, uh-huh. but you have a certified course in social entrepreneurship.
Right. And this is at what level? Like comparative to a diploma?
It's like a diploma, yeah.
Right. Okay. Interesting.
Or a certificate, I think.
Okay. A certificate. Yeah. All right. Uh-huh. All right.
Because having the diploma was too constraining for our school.
Okay. Understood. And then she went to France. And
yeah.
She
so she went to France and she's been studying for 3 months. She just came back this week mm-hmm. One of the most prestigious culinary schools in the world, mm-hmm. the Paul Bocuse Institute. Mm-hmm. What I find fascinating in this story is her ability to have enough self-confidence to be exactly herself, the most prestigious chefs in the world,
right?
As she
and
would be with us.
And things in the kitchen can be very authoritarian,
and you know how it is,
right?
Yeah, it's
yeah,
like
exactly.
the army.
Yeah.
And she comes, you know, she comes from the Philippines, where a lot of people already have an inferiority complex towards the rest mm-hmm. of the world. She comes from the poor. She learned how to speak English 2 years ago, three mm-hmm. years ago. So, but the reason why, where her confidence comes from is also the hardship she went through. And that was a big lesson for me, mm-hmm. is that this hardship is not pulling her back mm-hmm. anymore, mm-hmm. because I also worked with her a lot.
Yeah.
It's now her source of strength.
I've gone through things that you might not even been able to go through.
Right.
You don't know how to live in the conditions I've lived. You don't know how to take care of 8 siblings when you're just 13. You don't know how to take care of the finances of the family at 13 years old. Yeah. Like running the budget of the family when you're 13. I mean, these are heroic things
yeah.
that she's been doing out of being a daughter, being right. a sister.
So all these things added up to her experience and her knowledge. And these are the things that basically she led outside that singular source of knowledge.
Yeah, that it was, if you want, our school was about allowing her to put words on those things that she actually developed that are concrete reason for her to have self-confidence.
Fantastic. Yeah, good example. Okay, and the second
You're the
thing,
one who picked it.
Huh? Well, thank you, me. Okay, and the second item you mentioned earlier was?
Yeah, not waiting for the perfect conditions
yeah.
to start.
Yeah.
That's tough because it's scary. It's just really when you start a social enterprise, when you start a new project, you will say, how come I don't have the finances, I don't know how the market works. The thing is, it will never be perfect because what you're trying to do is new. Mm-hmm. Unless you want to do the exact same formula as everyone, then you know which conditions you need to get started. The fact is, here we're talking about making things differently. Mm-hmm. And for that, you can't wait. That's why when we, for example, when we bring in entrepreneurs to our farm, a lot of them have yet a vague idea mm-hmm. of what they want to do. Mm-hmm. What they know is there is this community of, for example, let's take an example. We have this mm-hmm. social enterprise called Plush and Play. Mm-hmm. The entrepreneur is actually a French guy who went to the Philippines for 3 months mm-hmm. and now he's been there for 7 years, extended. Right. We're 2 French in the organization.
Right.
And he saw the potential of those mothers who are sewers, but the companies were relocated to Cambodia and China, so they mm-hmm. lost their jobs. So he right. said, I want to help those mothers uh-huh. and we're going to make toys. But he didn't have a facility to start with. He didn't have money. So what did he do? She was very smart. He said, let's use what's existing. The mothers will work at home. I don't have to build a facility. Now, he had 500 euros. He was able to use it to grow his cash flow. And now it's a multi-million pesos business, but he only started with 500 euros.
Right.
Because the thing is, when you don't wait for the right conditions, this is when you develop resourcefulness.
Right, yeah.
This guy
because
was able
forced to,
think. He's forced to think.
To work with what you have.
Exactly.
Right, okay.
And he would sell to
people. It doesn't negate the fact that it's scary.
Exactly.
So how did you deal with that? Well, or how did that person deal with that?
The thing is, this is where the ecosystem is essential. Mm. The Enchanted Farm was precisely created to allow people to get access to mentors, to see proof of concept of things that have worked, for them to grow the courage. Mm-hmm. The fact is, we're surrounded by fears. We're in an environment where we're already poured fears upon us. Mm-hmm. The work that we have to do is clear. What are the fears that come from me? I'm afraid for the planet. Mm-hmm. What are the fears that other people will put on you? Oh, don't do this. It's going to lead you there.
Yeah.
Don't go with that person. Don't go into this school. Don't go into this job. Yeah. It's bad for you. These are your fears. These are not mine.
Yes.
The work of this Enchanted Farm is the courage will start when you'll be able to see, identify which are the fears that others are pouring upon you.
That's very,
and
very good.
Free yourself from them.
Right, yeah. The fourth one you mentioned was...
Leadership.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, we would define the leader as the one who knows, the one who's always strong, the one who would give the direction, would yeah. always be there. It is true. But the fact is...
But more importantly?
The more importantly is that it is someone you're able to personally connect with mm-hmm. because then you will not follow the person because he's smart or because he knows. Mm-hmm. Because then that means that when someone smarter comes, then what happens? You leave the leader?
Yeah.
You follow that person because that you know that person is doing it because out of selflessness and out of care for you. Mm-hmm. And something that has been amazing around me is see friends who are entrepreneurs, who are CEOs, who are managers, who started to take the crazy step of actually accepting their care for their employees, mm-hmm. for the people they work with.
Why would that be a crazy step?
Because most people are in the mindset still that the business school give us, mm-hmm. that you have to be strong. Mm-hmm. And where does strength come from? Where does power come from? From mm-hmm. never showing your weaknesses.
Right.
And saying that you care for someone means that somehow...
So you're literally taking this and turning it on its head.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
I'm saying that your strength will come, and we often hear it, oh, your strength is actually from your vulnerability, but you never really apply it. And for me, the leader is the first one who should apply it. But don't get me wrong, You still should be able to be strong in your decision, strong in your direction. But your vulnerability comes from the fact that, guys, we work together, I need you. Without you, I'm nothing.
Yeah.
And you're not working with me because I'm paying you.
Yeah.
You're working with me because I care for you and you care for me. And you will want to work for me because I care for you.
Right, yeah. And sometimes it's difficult as a leader to actually remember that you need to ensure everybody's on board the same ship.
Exactly.
And it's your responsibility to do that.
Because you're scared that eventually those guys will be better than you. That's true. People around you are better than you in so many aspects.
Yeah.
If each one of your employees has something where he's better than you, that's for sure.
Right.
And if you don't acknowledge it,
there's something that you're better than everybody else there as well, in one way or
another. And where you are better is that you're able to bring them together towards a direction. Mm-hmm. This is what is unique about you. Mm-hmm. But every one of them, you can't do their job.
Yeah. That's why you hired them.
That's why you hired them, exactly, in the first place.
Yeah. Okay, and the fifth one. I remember this was also one of the ones I liked.
One of your favorites. Stewardship versus ownership.
Yeah.
I realized... Okay, because I was taking care of chickens, remember? Mm-hmm. From the start, I was given the responsibility of the chickens. That means responsibility over life. Mm-hmm. Which is something I wasn't used to. I don't have kids, I never have a dog or whatever. Suddenly you have to take care of 1,000 chickens that are facing typhoons, thieves, dogs, cats. Snakes. You're responsible for their lives, snakes. But it's not just about the chicks. Behind the chicks is the farmers you're gonna help, the farmers you're gonna empower.
Yes.
So it made me realize that I would never do this job if it was just about ownership, because I don't even own the chicken business. I don't make any money out of it. I didn't put any money out of it in it. And the outcome doesn't affect me directly. It's about the Philippines. So stewardship meant that if you just stick on ownership, you will give up. Because it's transactional, it's a contract.
Yeah.
If it's stewardship, it comes from a deeper sense of connection.
Yeah.
That these chickens are transforming me. Mm-hmm. I am transforming people through those chickens. So for me, the stewardship is what allows you to actually grow. The ownership boxes you.
Right.
I'm only up to here. That's all
and
I know.
This is what I own.
That's all I own. That's all I'm responsible for. This is the only place where I act. Mm-hmm. When you start to be a steward, you get access to the greatness in you because you expand, basically.
Yeah.
You expand, you encompass other lives, you encompass other worlds than the one you know.
Yeah.
And I really believe, I don't remember where I read this, sorry for the copyright, but something as, you're as big as the problem you decide to tackle.
Right.
And obviously, your field of responsibility is a very small problem.
Yeah.
There are issues in your companies, there are issues there, that's for sure. But when you look at the problems of the world, that expands you because you will have to also develop immense capacities and more. Importantly, you'll be able to work with others. Mm. When it's your responsibility, you can manage it on your own.
Yeah.
When you start because to tackle doable. Big problems, that's to be doable.
Yeah.
When you talk about the planet, if you don't bring your entire country with you, you won't go anywhere.
Yeah.
So that comes back to the choice. Do you want to be as small as your apartment or as big as the world?
Wow, that's something that will make people think, you know, that's a little bit, wow. So small as your apartment or big as the world, wow, okay. It certainly is the new take on do you want to be a big fish in a small pond or a small fish in a big pond. But right now, we're not even talking about pond, we're talking about the world here. Louis, thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much, Dino.
I think that is really, really good. You definitely, you know what, break this down into your own list, own it. And I think if you apply this, because I think I definitely will do this, I'm about to embark on my own journey. So. I think this is a list that is going to be very, very useful, and it's deep. It will take you. It's not only applicable today, but it's also going to be applicable for the rest of your life and for absolutely every single person that you meet around you. We thank you so much for your time. It's great having this outdoor air, even though we're only about 100 meters away from the road. You've been with me, Syed Fardino Omar, and I have spent the last couple of minutes talking in a very illuminated way with Louis Faure. Who is from Gawad Kalinga in the Philippines, though he's clearly French, on In Person on Awani Review. We'll see you again soon. Bye-bye.